A reading from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all those who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." May God bless the reading to our hearing and understanding. Thanks be to God.
Jesus spoke to them, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you." The Holy Spirit is within me. The Holy Spirit is within me.
I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. Do not be troubled or afraid. Brothers and sisters, as you leave here today, take with you this reminder. You have been touched by the Holy Spirit. The advocate of the Lord is within you and is among you. Do not be afraid. Carry this ribbon with you, in your wallet or around your wrist, maybe as a bookmark, and remember the praise of King David. I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and my tongue shouts his praises, for you will not leave my soul among the dead. You have shown me the way of life, and you fill me with the joy of your presence. Amen.
Thanks to the worship and arts team for introducing us to God's promise of the Holy Spirit being with us always, beginning with the first Pentecost Sunday. And not only did you receive that little ribbon that's in your bulletin, but as you leave today, there are red wristbands that say Hollywood United Methodist Church. So I invite you to take one of those and wear one and remember the promise of the Spirit that's with us this day and always. Now, many times you'll hear Pentecost called the birthday of the church, and technically that's accurate, but it's more than that. So let's review for a moment how this Christian year stuff all fits together. On Christmas, we celebrated the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, of God with us. Following Christmas, we learned an epiphany about Jesus' baptism and his call to ministry. We learned about his gathering of the disciples and the direction and shape that his ministry would have. Then during Lent, during roughly mid-February and March, we focused on the last months of Jesus' ministry, the way the religious and the political authorities were threatened by his presence, and the ever-increasing number of people who were following him. During Holy Week, we remember Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, his gathering the disciples into the upper room for the Last Supper, his trial and conviction, his crucifixion and burial, and then on Easter Sunday, his glorious resurrection, showing us that death has no power over the grace and the life that Jesus the Christ offers to us. Then over the past 50 days, following the chronological order of the resurrected Christ on earth, we have seen how he relates to the disciples. He's dispelled their doubt. He's walked with them, broken bread with them, and reminded them that he's not going to be around for very long this time, that they need to keep looking forward. And finally, Jesus gives some final instructions to the disciples and ascended into heaven, leaving the disciples in charge of building the kingdom of God on earth. Which brings us to this day, the day of Pentecost. The term Pentecost comes from the Greek word Pentecostos, meaning 50th, which was one of the most important feasts in the Jewish calendar. 50 days after Passover, the Jews would celebrate the Feast of the Harvest. Centuries later, after their exile to Babylon, Jewish Pentecost became one of the great pilgrimage feasts of Judaism, when the diaspora Jews, those had been scattered, came back to Jerusalem for worship. And since about the second century, Christians have celebrated the coming of the Holy Spirit 50 days after the death and resurrection of Jesus on the Jewish Feast of Pentecost and with the descent of the Spirit into the birth of the church. Luke described the day of Pentecost by saying, "Suddenly there came a sound like the rush of a wind, and it filled the entire house where the disciples were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each one of them." With this rushing wind and tongues of fire, the apostles experienced the presence of God on the day of Pentecost. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were sent forth to proclaim the good news of God in Christ, to heal aching souls, to bear witness to the divine, incomparable love of God. Flames of fire rested upon each person gathered at that first Pentecost, no matter their background, their ethnicity, their social status, because they believed in the power of the risen Christ. the flame of the Holy Spirit was upon them. Well, brothers and sisters, today on this Pentecost Sunday, we need to believe in the power of the risen Christ and know that the flame of the Holy Spirit is upon each of us as well, which is why we wear red. We need to see the power of Pentecost not as something that the Holy Spirit did once a long time ago, but we must understand the power of Pentecost comes in what the Spirit is doing in our lives and in our church community today. Now, as United Methodists, the ability to seize the power and the flame of the Holy Spirit is part of our DNA, and it's in our logo. Our founder, John Wesley, at one point in his life was going through a difficult time. He was having trouble figuring out what God wanted him to do, even if questioning if God was calling him at all. He'd returned to London from the Americas, where he had a really bad breakup, I'll just put it that way. He didn't want to go to church one evening, you know, but he did. And it was at his lowest point that Wesley had what he later came to call his Aldersgate experience. He wrote, "In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society on Aldersgate Street. And about a quarter before nine, while the leader was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed." And that's a signature piece for United Methodist, that we have our hearts that are strangely warmed. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit can and will not only warm our hearts, it will change us. The flames of Pentecost aren't just a sign that the disciples are being excited or empowered, they're a sign that they're being changed by God's very presence among and within them. But the question for us is, are we willing to be changed? Are we ready to be molded by the Holy Spirit? We certainly know that our world is ready for us to be Pentecost-all. Yes, I mean that. Methodists can be Pentecost-all. Or, if you prefer, Pentecost-ish. Whichever you prefer, the world is ready for us as people of faith to be filled with the Spirit. Because things are so bad right now, we just can't agree on anything. Okay, that's the Greek singer Yanni, I'm just saying. The only thing we can't agree on, as Jimmy Kimmel said the other night, we all agree that this debate is the least important thing ever. But, you know, that said, it illustrates a fundamental truth about Pentecost. Because the Spirit comes upon us despite our differences, we're able to discover a deeper and a greater unity with each other. The great theologian Marcus Borg says that Pentecost undoes what the Tower of Babel did. It brings back together the broken and divided community of humankind. In the ancient world, there was a utopian ideal of one universal language, and this story provides a unique take on that dream. The Spirit of God rushes in to empower many different types of people to do something astounding: communicate effectively with one another. Oh, Lordy, can we imagine such a thing, communicating effectively with one another? Bridges were built and crossed in a moment, and the differences among them, instead of dividing, provided an illustration of just how great the power of God can be. And we need the power of God this day, especially us as Angelenos, to help us communicate effectively and address the immediate and systemic issues of homelessness. The causes are complex, and they have been decades long in the making. But it seems as though there are too many folks who can't even talk with each other about short or mid-range or long-term solutions without retreating into silos. Some of you may have seen on the news about shelters that have been proposed in various parts of town, including one here in Hollywood, which would be a short-term solution to help people get off the streets, no matter what condition they're in. But rather than have them on the streets, have them inside, where services can be provided and assessments can be made and benefits can be offered to those who qualify. But even the idea of having a shelter, a safe place, rather than seeing someone on the street in front of your business, has been too much for people in some parts of our town. I get some of the nextdoor.com notifications for not for where I live and also for where in our near our Toluca Lake campus. And some days I wish I didn't get them, to be very honest. One of them was talking about, they may be building something at the corner of, I didn't write it down, I think it's Cahuenga and Vineland or some in that kind of triangle area. And someone else says, I'd rather have a mini Walgreens than a homeless shelter. But these are the same folks who are complaining about the homeless encampments that are happening in the parks. We can't have it both ways. We're either all in to help our brothers and sisters who call the streets their home, or we say, we don't want in at all. And I don't know about you, but I want all in. Amen? Amen. And I can illustrate this with the story of the villas at Gower. The Presbyterian Church, which is on Gower, just north of Hollywood Boulevard, had a parcel they needed to sell, and about 10 years ago. And there was a homeless encampment that was under the bridge, under the freeway, near the church. And the neighbors and the protests that happened when there was the plan by a coalition of us, including this church, to build affordable, permanent supportive housing, you would have thought that we were, you know, threatening the second coming or something. We just thought it was going to be horrific. The protests were immense. And yet, the city council moved through, got the funding for PATH. They built the permanent supportive, I think it's 60 units, at the villas at Gower, which now sit adjacent to the Presbyterian Church. And those are 60 families who are off the streets permanently. Amen? Amen. And guess what? The homeless encampment is no longer there. There may be now, but the fears that were driving the protests were eliminated. People simply need housing. We just need to listen. We need to hear and truly hear one another this Pentecost, because the Spirit of God will rush in to empower different kinds of people to do something astounding, to communicate effectively with one another. Another illustration of this is our beloved United Methodist denomination. Last month, the Council of Bishops received 3 nominations from the Commission on the Way Forward on how we as a global church can deal with integrity and grace with the issues of human sexuality that have shattered us, divided us, and in too many ways prevented us from doing ministry to all God's people in the past 40 years. In that process, I know many of us grieve that we've lost at least 2 generations of young people who have no use for an institution that does not love God in the same way that we used to, and that claims that God doesn't love all people equally. Because we know that's not true. We know that God loves everyone, regardless of sexual orientation, regardless of wealth, regardless of status. God loves us all equally. Amen? Well, after days of discussion, the Council of Bishops voted to recommend what is called the One Church model to the special called General Conference. And since I know you don't want to be here till 3 o'clock, I will not go through what all that means. But here's what it will mean in many ways. This is going to come as a recommendation to the Call General Conference in St. Louis next February. What it will do, it will allow us as Hollywood United Methodist Church to be who we are. For me to be able to marry 2 people regardless of gender without fear of reprisal, without fear of recrimination, and we as a church can continue to do what we've always done, but we can do it openly and as a model for the general church. Amen. Shifting gears a bit, we need to listen and truly hear one another this Pentecost, because the Spirit of God rushes in to empower different kinds of people to do astounding things and communicate effectively with one another. Brothers and sisters, we have once again failed to hear the Spirit lead us on the issue of gun violence, as yet another school shooting took the lives of 10 children of God last Friday. I'm at the point I don't have words to express my grief, my sadness, and my anger that our elected officials continue to choose non-action over the valuing of human life. We must continue to name those forces of evil that perpetuate violence and call them to repent. Amen? Because naming evil in whatever form it presents itself, as we talked about in the membership vows today, naming is part of Pentecost. Thomas Long reminds us that the gift of Pentecost is the gift of something to say, a word to speak in the brokenness and the tragedy of the world that's unlike any other word. Did you notice what happened to the church when the Spirit was given? We just saw it illustrated. It stood up and it spoke. If we believe in Pentecost, if we believe that the Holy Spirit truly does work within us, then we too are called to stand up and speak up, to give others hope, to be authentic witnesses to the power of God's great love in Jesus Christ. And that means with our words and our actions, we will share the good news of Christ's love to the extent that on a Sunday morning, there will be no empty seats in your row. Amen? At a minimum, that means understanding that there are 25,000 people in our immediate community surrounding this campus alone, not even counting Toluca Lake, whom we have identified as our mission field, folks who have a progressive theology, those who are mildly churched, meaning that they left church because they were bored, because that happens a lot. Not here, I'm pleased to say, but it does happen. Or the church left them or someone they loved. Folks who fit our target demographic and who are desperate to know that God loves them, that God wants them, and God has called them to be part of a community committed to healing and changing this world. But to faithfully reach that mission field, there are things that are required of us. First, that we understand, as the great preacher Harry Emerson Fosdick of Riverside Church said so well, that if we're willing to light a fire, we may ourselves get burned. If we reach out to our community, to our mission field, we risk being rejected. Or even worse, we risk being rejected by our friends that we might invite. We risk being called delusional for having faith in this God who died and rose again to give us life eternal. But I believe with all my heart that if we fan the flames of faith to share with our friends and our neighbors that this is a community of faith that embraces all God's children without exception, that we will indeed build the beloved community here in the heart of Hollywood. We simply need to open our hearts to the Spirit that is all around us, claiming us not just today, but from now till Advent, which is called ordinary time, and all throughout the year. The Spirit that's calling us to speak with the voice of God's all-powerful love that promises indeed to be with us always. In closing, I'm not sure how many of you got up and watched the royal wedding, but I sure did. And, you know, Harry and Meghan, they were okay. But the real star of the wedding, you know what I'm going to say, was Bishop Michael Curry, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church in the United States. I'm heading out to a preaching conference that I go to every year, and for years before he became a bishop, Michael Curry was one of the must-go-to sermons, because what he gave to the world yesterday was exactly what he would give at this preaching conference every year. But what he did yesterday was stand in stark contrast to the world, and he preached the gospel unencumbered and unashamed. Amen. He preached the power of God's love, and he said, in part, imagine a world where love is the way. Imagine our homes and our families when love is the way. Imagine neighborhoods and communities, governments and nations. Imagine business and commerce when love is the way. Imagine this tired old world when love is the way. So brothers and sisters, this Pentecost, let us imagine, let us see visions and dream dreams, and live into the power of God's almighty love. Amen.